Well, hi everybody and welcome. This is Dave. I hope you're doing great. As you know, this is our final seminar. We're going to cover steps 6 and 7, author new experiences and program new identity, which I think will bring things into a sense of completion and closure for looking at and understanding how to deconstruct a story as you're listening to it from a client, how to construct a new one or revise a story. But first, I'm interested in any responses or questions or thoughts that you have or think that you'd like to discuss a bit more before we move into the material. What you got? Anything that's still unclear or that we haven't covered yet or that in the first 3 seminars left questions in your mind about the practical application for coaching? I hope you're each going to walk away with a sense of what do you actually do in coaching? How can you feel effective in really applying the mind and brain sciences in strategic coaching? So anything that you'd like to discuss a bit further? But not all at once. Anyone? Well, I'll move into the material and save more time at the end unless anybody wants to break radio silence here and help me not feel all alone. Any other questions or any questions or anything to talk about? Final call. Okay. All right. I grab some coffee because I want to ask you again. I want to have a discussion at the end. Okay, we're going to talk about creating new wellness experiences and identity. We've discussed the power of story, the concept of creating your own wellness story. We've looked together at how different this notion of creating your story is from fitting into somebody else's protocol or adding a diet plan or an exercise program to what you do or just following directives from a physician or getting information from various sources. We've discussed the first 5 steps of the roadmap for a new wellness story. Recognize authorship, own your story, assess the plot and storylines, decide what to change, and map changes. So step 6 and 7, we're going to address how to create new wellness experiences and identity. Step six, author new experiences. We trust our stories. They're our reality. When our stories and our behaviors don't fit, we experience disharmony. We have to change one or the other to restore harmony. In other words, to say that a different way, we are happy, basically, when our blueprint fits our life experiences, our blueprint of what we expect to happen, what we think should happen, the belief systems that we have, fits our experiences. If we don't have that experience, that harmony, that happiness, then we're going to have to change one or the other. We're either going to have to change our blueprint, our set, our beliefs about what should happen or what behaviors will lead to, or we'll have to change the life experiences. Now, we've considered if your wellness story doesn't allow you to do certain things. If your story is that you're a procrastinator, it'll disallow you from finishing early. If your story says you don't know how to work out, then you're going to live out this assumption. Remember, at first, the idea of change will create excitement. Then, as it's on the cusp of action, anxiety. Then expansion, and finally, mastery. So here are some AAA principles of change to author a new story, to actually bring about a new story. Awareness, acceptance, and action. And let's talk about those 12 principles. One, you're writing your own story. Is it working? For each component, what are the results? Not the intention, not what you hope will happen, but is it actually working? The results. Honestly assess each of these storylines with the question, is it working? And make that a yes or no. Your personal wellness story, mind, body, and spirit. Your business career story. Your relationship story. Your money story. When I ask people what they most look forward to and what they're most afraid of for the next chapters of their lives, they often respond with vague dreams, yet specific fears. The top of the list of long-term concerns, two things, health and money. A not-so-secret to success is that you have to pay in full for that success. So you might as well find out what the price is, pay it in full, pay it as soon as possible, and then enjoy the benefits of success. The price is always some form of energy, whether that energy is money, time, work, or experience. If you get something that you haven't provided value or benefit for, you're still going to have to pay in some way. If you incur debt, for example, in order to purchase something before you've earned the money, you simply end up paying more for it. And here's another non-secret. People who truly enjoy getting what they want are those who enjoy paying the price. I'm doing it right now. I love this. I think you're each going to make such a difference in so many lives. That makes it easy to pay. Actually, it doesn't even seem like a price. It feels like a passion. The price is whatever you need to give in order to generate exactly what you want. And be sure you know your why, your purpose. Two, you're writing your own story. It takes just as much energy to create any belief in your story. Positive or negative, past, present, future, adaptive or maladaptive, the same energy. The belief of scarcity takes just as much energy as abundance. You generate the energy and give power to your story. Here's the subtle but crucial distinction. You give specific power to your story, and it assumes its own momentum. Remember, you're not the subject of that process. You're the creator of it. You're the author of it. Here's a short list of some results when you focus on what you don't want. Fear, anxiety, anger, confusion, annoyance, helplessness, guilt. You're writing your own story. Number three, decide what you want. The primary reason people don't get what they want is they're not quite sure what they want. Here's a neuroscience law of attraction question. How does the brain work like a travel agent? First two questions a travel agent asks, where do you want to go? When do you want to get there? And a goal is like MapQuest. You program in where you want to go, make a map, and determine the time. Now, a caveat here, to know what not to do is at least as important as knowing what to do. You may not always know what the next right thing is, but you can almost always know what it isn't. What you resist, you draw toward you. Resistance is an engagement. It's kind of like saying anger is at least as passionate an attachment as love. Either way, energy focuses and engages. And most suffering is the result of resisting what already is. Think about that. People resist going to the doctor. They aren't afraid of doctors. They're afraid their denial is going to be confronted. 4, you're writing your own story. Do you have specific, measurable goals? In a Harvard study begun in the mid-1950s, 10 to 15% of the Harvard Business School graduates fashioned a vision and specific goals for their life and business. 5 decades later, those 10 to 15% had 90% of the assets of the entire group. Another study was done of undergraduate Dartmouth students who were graduating. 3% had specific goals. In a 20-year follow-up, you guessed it, 97% of the assets of the entire graduating class were in the hands of those 3% who had specific goals. Motivation increases as soon as you're clear about the goal and the payoff. Focus enhances when you have a specific strategy. I'd suggest you review from the workbook the exercise 11 Steps to Ignite Success, beginning page 3.6. It's estimated that less than 10% of people have measurable goals. 100% of people have good ideas, at least some. The difference between a good idea and a goal? Measurement and time. Where and when? The travel agent question. Here's a good idea. I'd like to lose weight. Here's a goal. I will reach 185 pounds by the running of the Boston Marathon with my daughter in April. Here's a good idea. I want to save more money for retirement. Here's a goal. I will pay myself first by setting up an automatic transfer of $500 to my retirement fund the first day of each month from my checking account. Then, write a breakthrough goal, something that would stretch you, bring incredible opportunities, move you to a higher level, a quantum leap, getting a book on the New York Times bestseller list, spending every March skiing in Steamboat Springs, and every August riding on the coast of Maine. Then, but you guys are going to make up your own goals. Then, reread your goals, regular and breakthrough, twice a day, when you wake up, when you go to bed. 5, you're writing your own story. Small changes lead to big changes. Issues that may seem overwhelmingly large and insurmountable can be approached by looking at the simplicity of the issue to specify a step to take for progress. For example, if you feel overwhelmed with the amount of tasks, identify one specific thing that you can do in the next 24 hours that will give you some traction. This focus on a simple, specific action creates a sense of effectiveness and initiates a model of mastery. This is really basic to what we do in coaching in terms of shrinking the change. Here's an example. Terry Fox started the Marathon of Hope. It's a cross-Canada run of 3,339 miles. Since he had an artificial leg, his running style was a shuffle and a hop. He averaged, though, 24 miles a day and completed the run in 143 days. He was immediately interviewed after the race and asked how he kept himself going when he was exhausted and knew he had thousands of miles ahead. His response, I just kept running to the next telephone pole. So divide up your work. Focus on and complete one thing at a time. There's always something you can focus on. During my specialty training in psychiatry, One of my first-year supervisors had a really puzzling picture on the wall. It was a photograph in which everything seemed curiously out of focus. As I met with him every week, I'd glance at the photograph until finally, toward the end of the year, I asked him about it. He said, "Look carefully, Dave. What do you see?" Well, I walked over to the photograph to get a closer look. Closer didn't help. It still seemed out of focus. I saw no particular aesthetic value. My experience and considerable interest in photography didn't help. I'd been published in National Geographic World at that time. I finally said, "Steve, the only thing I notice is that there's only one branch of one tree in focus in the entire picture." He nodded. He said, "That's exactly why I have it hanging there. It's my reminder that while things seem blurry and confusing, there's always at least one thing you can have in focus and see clearly," which is why he was a great supervisor for first-year residents. 6, you're writing your own story. Be consistent in the pursuit of your goals. It takes 25 to 30 days to etch a new pathway in your brain to make it permanent. Write your new story consistently for it to become the default mode. Overall wellness is not based on some big monumental choice, but on little things. If you plan to run 30 minutes on the treadmill, but after 10 get off, convinced you're a little stiff today, that's one small choice, no big deal. You've resolved to cut empty calories, but then grab a few peanut M&Ms from the candy bowl, not really thinking about the choice because no single M&M, not even 5, caused anyone to have diabetes. And no one experienced a heart attack because 20 minutes less on the treadmill on one day. Yet, our wellness is the cumulative result of thousands of such choices, seemingly innocuous or rationalized away or justified into oblivion. So it's the process that we establish. 7, you're writing your own story. The benefit of doing more of what's working and less of what isn't working will become evident and self-perpetuating. Now, this is all really simple. Good parents have known this for centuries, but sometimes it takes human science and cognitive research to remind us of the obvious. We can foster change by conscious practices and effective tools. An infinite sea of new patterns and possibilities can be created to further new goals. The caveat? You have to take action to diminish pre-programmed responses and write new script for new experiences. In other words, a new story has to replace the old one. And the best way to give up an old story is to finally be entirely inside a new one. And there are no shortcuts, since having long-term change requires constant practice, repetition to groove new neural pathways and establish new neural networks. But there are effective and efficient methods to accelerate optimum change and ensure transformation. 8, you're writing your own story. Ask for feedback. To your spouse or partner, ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate the quality of our relationship. To your employees and colleagues, on a scale of 1 to 10, how am I doing? Then, how can I get to 10? A tribe in southern Africa called the Babimba has an interesting practice. When they hear a story of a person doing something wrong, something that destroys the social net of their tight community, all work in the village halts. The people gather around the offender and one by one recite all that that person has done right in his life. Good deeds, responsible behavior, thoughtful acts. This honest feedback on misbehavior has a time-honored consequence to allow the person to reclaim the better part of himself. He remembers who he is and why he is important to the life of the village. This may have been an original 360-degree feedback. Even without this kind of social network and feedback, though, we can relax and remember our way back into alignment with our true selves. We can get centered and grounded and reconnect with our true essence. One way of thinking about it, find people who are already successfully doing what you want and getting what you want. Research what they do in order to do your version of it. Ask, learn, question, but make it your story. Guess who said this? It's not that I'm so smart. It's that I stay with problems longer. That was Albert Einstein. An interesting statistic. After giving a complete presentation about the benefits of their service or product, more than 60% of the time, seasoned salespeople forgot to ask for the order. How to ask is a crucial factor. Ask clearly, confidently, sincerely. Virginia Satir, the well-known family therapist, was hired by the Michigan State Department of Social Services to submit a proposal on how to restructure the Department of Social Services to better serve the client population. 60 days later, she provided the department with a 150-page report. They said two things. This is the most amazing report, and how did you come up with all these brilliant ideas? And she said, well, I just asked all the social workers in your department what it would take for the system to work better. Now, a sidebar here. You may have noticed that each of these AAA principles of change to author a new story began the same way. You're writing your own story. That's the first four steps of the roadmap. Recognize, observe, assess, decide, compressed into the shorthand of awareness and acceptance. The third A, the 12 action steps. 9, you're writing your own story. Get success insurance instead of waiting for good luck. Luck is defined as probability taken personally, or my favorite, narcissism meets chance. Now, there's a review of research on goal setting. I'm not going to go into the detail here because of time, but there's a review of research on goal setting on page 3.5 of your workbook, which helps us understand two really crucial components. The study is about why people give up on goals. So what that means is the inverse is how effective goal setting can ensure long-term achievement, success insurance. 10, you're writing your own story. Take a chance. You didn't have a New York Times bestseller before you sent your manuscript to the agent. If you get it rejected, you still don't. So what do you got to lose? What's the problem? You spent your whole life not having a New York Times bestseller. A young chiropractor just out of professional school wanted to open a practice in Carmel, California. But he was told he'd never make it. There's already one chiropractor for every 8 people in Carmel. He went to 12,500 homes, talked to 6,500 people. He asked 3 questions. Which location should I open my office, the north or west side of town? Should I have extra office hours from 7 to 9 in the morning or 5 to 7 in the afternoon? And which newspaper should I advertise in? He added, when I have an open house party, would you like an invitation? In the first month, he took in $72,500 and in the first year netted over $1 million. 11, you're writing your own story. It's never too late to start. Don't let conventional wisdom and limiting assumptions ghostwrite your story. Cliff Beon was a 61-year-old Australian sheep herder. He heard about a cross-country race from Sydney to Melbourne and decided to enter. He showed up in Oshkosh overalls and work boots. The officials looked at him like he was crazy. They said, this is a race of over 800 kilos. The most seasoned runners in the world compete. Do you have any running experience and equipment? He said, yeah, I run after my sheep every day. I got these boots and this baseball cap. Well, when the race began, the world-class runners took off as they were trained to begin. Cliff started shuffling along in his boots. You're supposed to run 18 hours and sleep 6 day after day, but nobody told Cliff this. And usually when he would, be running, the others were sleeping. So he kept shuffling along. He shuffled along for almost 5 days. He cut 5.5 hours off the world record. We each have beliefs that limit us. Find the story that will improve you and start believing that. If there were no barriers, what would your ideal life be? And 12, you're writing your own story. Everything is okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. For tens of thousands of years, before books and computers, we transmitted our essence and principles by story. Story linked to the past, organized the present, and illuminated the future. Story allowed us to connect with each other's humanity and the paths crossed on the long journeys out of Africa to populate the rest of the world. Then the anatomy and physiology of our brains grew by putting thoughts and feelings into stories. Stories informed, instructed, inspired, governed, organized. Story is the most powerful way humans communicate. Stories give birth to possibilities. Stories are a way that we resonate with our earlier selves, connect with others, and create a roadmap to proceed. Your story is yourself, your life, and what will survive you. At some point in the distant future, all that will be left of you, all that will survive you, is your story. Be sure to get it right. Step 7. Program new identity to incorporate and sustain the changes. Remember we talked about that the most powerful force of the human psyche is that we return to our identity. So anything that we do or any change we make, unless we incorporate that change into a transition of our operating model of how and who we see ourselves to be, of our identity, then we'll revert back to the way things were before. So this is the challenge, ongoing with every client throughout the change and transition process, to help that client transform their identity, their model of how and who they are, to incorporate the change, not just as something that they're doing or that something that's happening, but as part of who they are. Let's talk first a little bit about operating systems. Behavioral patterns and belief systems downloaded, especially from parents in the first years of life, become automatic to operate without observation or awareness. Neuroscientists estimate that about 95% of our behaviors and core beliefs are pre-programmed in the unconscious mind and operate on autopilot. In other words, that we are not conscious of. So, that we observe derivatives of this, behaviors, maybe beliefs that we become conscious of, but most of the operating system is out of awareness. So, what that means is, and especially in terms of mentor coaching, we create, or may create, two stories simultaneously. The surface story, that we run our lives with conscious intentions and aspirations. And this includes, well, this is what I want from life. These are my goals. These are my positive aspirations. Yet, remember, this is only about 5% of our processing. At the same time, an unconscious story can ghostwrite behavior, sometimes in a different direction than conscious intention. So here's the shadow story that may go in exactly the opposite direction of the surface story. I can't get what I want. The system keeps me from doing what I need. I don't have what it takes. Many compromises occur when two stories are written simultaneously. An example, I want to claim my freedom and become totally my own person. The second story, my spouse acts like I'm taking it away from him when I'm self-sufficient. Or here's a more common example. The surface story, I want to generate more money and create wealth. The shadow story, though, that may not even be conscious is, well, you know, I don't really know if I could be successful, and I'm pretty comfortable with where I am. I don't think I want to risk the discomfort and the embarrassment if I don't succeed? Or truly spiritual people don't really have money. Or I don't think I have what it takes. Fill in any shadow story that can oppose and go in exactly the opposite direction of a surface story and create suckness. So what we want to do then in coaching is to help someone be aware of articulating both the surface story and the shadow story, to roadmap both of those to see how someone is creating their own stories that may oppose each other. They are authoring both at the same time, which creates a stuckness. So this is also a way to think about if someone having an obstacle, rather than doing an end run around the obstacle, obliterating the obstacle, doing strategies to overcome the obstacle, consider this. The obstacle is not there until you create it. Consider what it would be like not to create your obstacles and to focus on the goals and proceed toward them in using your energy. Remember, from neuroscience and quantum physics, we get what we focus on, not what we want. So let's talk for just a moment about a mission statement. You're probably aware in business, a mission statement is a statement of an organization's primary purpose, the strategies to achieve that purpose, and its fundamental values. Consider this. A personal mission statement can clarify and provide meaning to your daily activities. It can add focus and commitment to what you're doing. A mission statement has four elements: ideals, purpose, strategies, and goals. Ideals, remember from the first step, the core values that motivate and guide you. They define what's important to you. Purpose, what you wish to accomplish. And purpose needs to be consistent with ideals. Strategy, simply the art and science of a plan of action. And goals, exactly what you know. Effective goals are SMART goals: specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time bound. So create a personal mission statement. What's your life purpose? What are you meant to do? This is the compass to guide your life and wellness story to personal fulfillment. I'll share mine, you ask. To inspire and guide others to achieve their unique, most empowered life and business story. Write yours down. Read it every day. Incorporate it into your wellness story. Let's talk for just a few minutes about state of mind patterns. And here's something you'll see in working with your clients. You probably already have, because it's human nature. You may see the pattern more quickly, though, in a wellness story. A new pattern of behavior can occur for even a sustained period of time. Then it can sometimes be subjugated to other opposing mindsets or just reverting back to a previous comfort zone or reversion to the familiar. For example, somebody who's overweight plans a weight loss program and achieves an ideal body weight, 30 pounds lighter. As soon as the target's achieved, the nutritional plan is relaxed and the weight's gained back. Then the diet's reinstated. Now, as a footnote here, remember that people who don't gain weight back not only sustain healthy eating, not a diet, but they also revise the software, the true body self in their mind. Another example, the independent business person carves out a set of hours each week to do marketing. This plan, when it's meticulously adhered to, results in a successful business. When it's relaxed, though, the marketing effort lapses, business wanes because things are going great, and someone slacks off with marketing, and then there's a dip, then the marketing time is reinstated, so you get a roller coaster. Now, in each of these situations, someone has specific motivated attempts to have a plan and to stick to it. But if the sticking to it lapses, it has to be reinstated. People behave in one way, in one mindset, then perhaps in a different mindset when the context changes. Often the prompt for the return to the original is the shock of recognition. The lapse occurs with relaxation into a comfort zone, and you realize you've slipped back and need to reinstate the efforts. Now, the patterns that cycle quickly come to attention and can be addressed readily. These are the easy ones where you see the rapid cycling, you see the cause and effect, you see the patterns. Some patterns, though, are really, really harder because, for one thing, they have extremely long time cycles and recognition occurs gradually. An example is the aging process and the recognition of the need for exercise and nutrition crystallized by an event such as a heart attack. So, to create a list to prompt wellness states of mind, here are some thoughts. A 3-minute break to listen to music to decrease stress or just relax, to engage in mindfulness or meditation. To make your first thoughts of the day positive and fulfilling, they set in motion how the day will transpire. Make your last thought at night before you go to sleep a positive, enhancing one. It sets in motion what your unconscious mind works on while you're asleep. A meditation period of 3 to 10 minutes a day can be powerful to get centered and determine your focus and to regulate state of mind, which affects immune system. There's some fantastic studies about the effect on our body physiology of meditation. Be aware of specifically fertile times to plant seeds, such as the beginning and ending of the day. If you're positive, it will grow. If you're a collector of injustices, your collection will grow. Another thought, follow success trails. How many of you have said some version of following, well, or heard it from your clients? I want to change careers, but I'm not sure what I know what to do next. Or I'd like to really get in shape, but I'm not sure where to start. I want to play a bigger game, but I'm not quite sure what a bigger game is. Decide how you want to expand. Then pick success trails to follow. Seek out a mentor, books, program, resources to help you. Watch someone who's doing what you might want to do. Ask if you can take them to lunch and pick their brain, or shadow them for a day to observe. This is especially where you will see, I believe, and I've seen this happen again and again, an exponential return on your investment. To hire a mentor coach to help you jumpstart your practice or really enhance something that you're doing or move your firm or your practice to another level. Here's one example of that. When my good buddy Art heard that I was transitioning from psychoanalytic practice many years ago and had completed certification from my professional coach training, he flew to Houston to take me to dinner. A few years earlier, he left IBM as a senior executive and had formed his own consulting corporation. He told me how he chose 5 very successful people who had done something very similar to what he wanted to do and took them to lunch or dinner to pick their brains, to find out some of the specifics and ask them questions. He advised me to do the same. It worked for both of us. Some business people with instant global recognition now pick his brain for substantial picking fees in his consulting business. Another consideration, choice enhancement. These are some considerations that apply to emotions and choices in terms of working with clients and being aware of it. 1, increased tension produces emotional regression. Stress can move somebody into an emotional pattern more characteristic of a much earlier age. And increased emotion narrows perspective to create tunnel vision. So attempting to use reason and logic with somebody who's escalated emotionally makes them more tarked up and less able to access reason. It makes them dig in their toes and be even more focused. And stress derails balanced, big picture thinking to focus on the most recent and the most emotionally charged event, the recency effect, and the focus on the narrow picture instead of the big picture. And the remedy for all of these, to get grounded and centered, to regulate states of mind. Here's a quote from a Buddhist teaching. Return to the earth now if your mind is troubled and your heart is uncertain, for it is by returning to the beginning that we can clearly see the path. A beautiful description of getting grounded literally and figuratively and regulating state of mind to have access to all of the information, all of one's experience. So now as we're talking about this final step, I want to say a few words about change and transition. The brain is a really efficient machine, doesn't waste energy. Simplicity is to take the path of least resistance. Remember, we talked about that in the first seminar, to use neurons already familiar with the task. The brain inclines toward repeating the old story. To think creatively, new neural pathways need to be developed outside the cycle of experience. Stimulation for new insight is a circumstance where the brain can't predict what will happen next. The catalyst for insight is a novel stimulus, new information or new context. The change is the event, the situation. You change your behavior, move to a new city, have a baby, take a new job. As we focus on change, we address the rituals of change, the work tools, the SMART goals. The transition, though, is the process. It's the internal story of change, a shift in orientation, even self-definition. Transition is attention to the seasonal cycles as well as the daily weather. As you create change and embrace transition, you let go of the old story, the outlived chapter, and evolve into a new story. This is the P of the roadmap. Program new identity to internalize the changes, to sustain and enhance them, to make them last, to make them permanent. Jung said, the most important problems can't be solved. They have to be outgrown. Think about that's how and what exactly we do in coaching. A mention now, just briefly, of commitment devices. As an accountability partner, we as professional coaches may consider commitment devices. There have been studies on how people self-impose as well as co-create commitments for behaviors they know are in their best interest. We help our kids do this. A piggy bank is a commitment device to counter impulsive purchases. Other ways people counter their own vulnerability and bolster commitment to a better response. In one study, college students were given the option to create their own earlier deadlines for 3 papers due by the end of the semester. 75% of them jumped at the chance. And think about this. This is a study of framing. 100% of the students, 100% of the time, have an option of creating their own earlier deadline for something. When it was official, though, people, 75%, jumped at it. Another, people find ways of saving themselves from immediate cravings. A study at Harvard Business looked at the ways people deal with purchasing want products versus should products. They would devise ways to put off either purchasing or having delivered the want products to ensure they would do what they should do first. And for money stories, automatic retirement deposit to make commitment a one-time decision. So consider how to prioritize your shoulds and reward doing them with your wants. This reframes a want as a part of a performance ethic. It removes guilt and links to performance, what you know you're going to do anyhow, and planning as a different scenario than impulsivity. So I want to conclude with some most frequent mistakes made in writing a new wellness story. And listen to these also as ways to get success insurance. Most frequent mistakes. 1, not knowing that you don't know. Well, now, how can people know that they don't know something? We believe we know, which can blind us to our ignorance. This in turn causes us to be blind to signs that we may be mistaken. So, to keep a beginner's mind, an open mind, to look for possibility, to know to ask is half the answer. Two, stopping at the first right answer. When we're solving problems or writing a new story, we may stop at the first reasonable action. Now, this may be a totally correct strategy, but it can stop us from considering other right answers, other correct strategies that may be even more effective. So we can ask, and then what? What else? Now, I want to introduce number three with a brief quiz. Five frogs sat on a log. They all considered their options. Four, however, planned their strategy and then decided they would jump off. So, how many frogs were left on the log? Well, five were left because they only planned and decided they didn't commit to act. Number three is procrastination. Now, I'm talking about some of the broad themes here, the big patterns, putting off an exercise program, not paying yourself first, not saving for emergency, not saving for retirement, taking care of others but not yourself. Most of us live our lives as though there were an unlimited amount of time left. We have little sense of urgency, contributing to a lack of focus. When the two-minute warning sounds in football, a team sometimes achieves more in the final 2 minutes than they did in the previous 28. Well, the Texans are exceptions here, but this imminent deadline, a limited, finite amount of time to accomplish goals, focuses on concentration and increases effort. In our lives, we only rarely have a two-minute warning. We play as if the notion of finite time is only an abstraction, something we acknowledge but seem not to internalize. Life is finite. It's just that the game clock is invisible. Four, inefficient energy management. Managing energy is a key to success. This begins with knowing your strengths and limitations, your biological cycles, when you perform best. Know how to enter and exit various states of mind and which works best for a particular task. For example, writing and editing, two different states of mind, two different parts of the brain, to be done at two different times. Writing at the biorhythm time when you're most creative. Cluster activities that require the same state of mind. Identify what enhances your energy, anticipation, creativity, pleasure, meditation, prayer. Identify what depletes your energy. Toxic people or situations, negative mindset, lack of focus. Five, ambiguity. If you're unclear about what options are available and don't know what it would be like to pursue them since you haven't done it before, this uncertainty adds to decision paralysis. So, what looks like resistance can simply be a lack of clarity about what's next. People are most likely to change when new behavior is crystal clear, not vague or absent. Eating a healthier diet is both vague and abstract. The possibilities of eat healthier or save for the future are limitless. Where to begin? More is not a number. Later is not a time. When you want to affect change, help script specific behaviors. Six, too many choices. Some studies showed how an HR department or individual investment advisor can provide too many choices, and the extra options backfire, leading to decision paralysis. For every 10 options offered, an employee's rate of participation decreases by 2%. At some point, choice debilitates rather than liberates, and someone retreats to the default mode of simply not making a choice. Seven, lack of persistence. The truly challenging, courageous part of change is not the initial decision or the initiation of a new order of things. It's the willingness to stay the course. And here's a quote from a fellow Texan. Most people give up when they're about to achieve success. They quit on the one-yard line. That was from Ross Perot. I thought you'd quit listening if I said his name first. 8, not following success trails. Now, we've talked about following success trails just moments ago, but this is a most common reason for not succeeding. So I mention it again as an emphasis here. Now, in summary and overview, we've talked about the wellness story from perspectives of cells, mind, brain, and story. Now, a final word about genes. Epigenetics is the study of the ways in which our experiences change the ways genes operate. Our experiences program how active our genes will be. There's a difference between having a gene and that gene expressing its signature proteins to have a particular effect. Of our more than 30,000 genes, some express themselves constantly, some only at a particular time in life, some only for a certain organ of the body, some only at certain behavioral or emotional prompts. We now know that our genes and our environment, including our behavior, are reliant on each other. They are intersubjective. What we do as well as what we eat can turn our genes on or turn them off. Genes cannot operate independently of their environment, internal and external. Our nutrition, our emotions, our social interactions all interact. Here's a real simple example. You eat broccoli. Broccoli contains a form of B6, which prompts a specific enzyme to produce the amino acid L-tryptophan, which contributes to synthesize dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that, among other things, stabilizes mood. So, a final note here. Your true story. The residual outcome of your past thoughts, feelings, and actions are not who you are. What you have done with your body and eating may not be your true body self. Who you are is what you're creating this moment. Write your genuine life story, your informed wellness story. Write the truest story possible. And here's a final story, a true story. A small boy approached Walt Disney and asked him, "How can I be like you one day?" Disney took this question very seriously, and he thought for a moment, and he held up a finger to let the little boy know that he was thinking about it. And Disney finally said 4 words: think, believe, dream, dare. And remember the most important lesson from everything I've said during our time together. Just keep going to the next telephone pole. Well, it's been a real privilege to be with you these 4 seminars. We have some time to discuss in just a moment. I've learned too. I hope you have. And I hope it's met your expectations. Thank you for your energy and presence. I hope we'll have the opportunities to cross paths and collaborate again. So we're in discussion mode now. I'm interested in any thoughts or questions or things that you'd like to talk more about. Anyone, please.
David, this is Beth McCarthy.
Please, go ahead.
Hi. Well, listen, I just wanted to thank you for the last 4 sessions. It's just been really wonderful personally and professionally. And so I'm, looking forward to just continuing, doing more work with you. So it's just more than anything, just thanks.
Well, thanks very much. I really learned from doing these and putting together and adjusting some of the things based on the feedback I get. I really appreciate that response. And if I have helped you think about some things in a different way and have created some confusion, then my job is done. So, to perturbate a closed system is exactly what we do in coaching, and to look at new possibilities and to not have a premature closure. So that's great. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Are there other thoughts and questions? Anything we didn't get to that you wanted to that we can address in just a couple of minutes here at the end? Any questions that haven't been answered? I've reviewed the ones you sent in and the things you hope to walk away with, and I hope you're doing that. I know some of you mentioned that you wouldn't be able to attend this final one. These recordings will be up, as I understand it, from CTA, 30 days past today, our last day of class. So those are up. Now, CTA does not allow downloading, but you can always record. You can record and send it into iDictate. I do all of my writing on a little digital recorder and send it into iDictate and transcribe it for a penny and a quarter a word. I have a resource deal on my website. My last page is a resource guide. Different people I refer to and respect, and it's one of them. There's a link there. Anything that you'd like to talk about?
Dave, this is Lori Fear.
Welcome.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you, too. This has been really great, and there's a lot that my brain is trying to process. I think that's why we don't have questions sometimes. But I'm interested in resistance, and I suppose procrastination is a part of it, but resistance to change, even though the person knows that change is going to be better for them, what do you do when you come across a client who just gets their feet stuck and maybe it's stubbornness or something that they don't want to move forward?
If it truly is resistance and procrastination, and it's not the lack of a plan, the first thing I would look at is there a plan that someone has, and are they just saying no to that plan? Then I would look in the most simple way possible in terms of how our minds and brains work. The most two fundamental motivations that we have are to seek pleasure and to avoid pain. If someone has a plan and they're not sticking to it or they're resisting it, then there's something about moving ahead that they associate with pain, and they're avoiding pain by not moving ahead. Now, that may be something as simple as not wanting to leave a comfort zone. It may be one of those shadow stories of, I don't really think I have what it takes. I think I'd really be embarrassed. I think I'd fail big. Whatever the story, they're avoiding pain, and it makes sense to them. It is something, there's always a reason for everything we do, and the reason makes sense, even though it may not be conscious or logical or intellectual. So I would look then at that juncture at two things. One is, what's your internal conversation at the instant, the frame right before you decide no, when you have a plan and you decided to move ahead with that plan? In other words, do you bargain with yourself to say, well, no, I'll start next Tuesday? Or do you defy your own authority and say, oh, the hell with it, I'm going to have a good time and not going to do it? Or do you get confused? Or do you not know which actual small step to take? Then I would also look at, what is the pain that you assume you're avoiding by not moving ahead? Because that's the shadow story. So if it's the example that I gave, I want to generate more income and create wealth, the shadow story may be, I don't really think I have what it takes, and that would really expose that. So what we want to do in coaching is look at two aspects around those two basic motivations of seeking pleasure and avoiding pain. And here are the two questions that I would consider in your question. What is the greater pleasure if you do proceed? And what is the greater pain that you if you don't proceed? So let's assume you're going to resist. What is the, and you're avoiding a pain, and you're now conscious of avoiding that pain. What is the greater pain if you don't proceed? But what is the greater pleasure if you do? And to look at that in very simple ways. So that's how I began. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's very helpful, and I'm glad that you came back to the motivators being seeking pleasure and avoiding pain. That helped me to kind of pull this full circle again, I think. Because for me, it gets down to these very simple things, and yeah. So I appreciate you bringing this around.
That's how our brains work. Our brain works in two instinctual ways, to seek pleasure and avoid pain. And if we respond in ways that don't quite make sense or that just seem elusive, then let's look at those two basic ways and what is the instinctual response that someone may not even be conscious about that can become once you've illuminated something that's unconscious, it's no longer unconscious.
Right.
Well, if any of you think of a question or something that you talk about, send me an email. The next seminar series that I do here at CTA is Coaching Money Mastery, Understanding Money Relationships and Revising Money Stories. That starts on March 7th. So I hope to see some of you there if you're interested in that. But I'll be interested in what you're doing and what you're up to, and I hope we can find some ways to cross paths. Thank you all very, very much, and I really am grateful for the feedback and the energy flow and the responses that you've had. It's really helped me to shape and focus some of the things that I think. So thanks very, very much, and I hope we're not done. Bye now. See you guys.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
See you guys.
Loved it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.